Not everyone's going to get along with everyone, and you do need to find your people.
You make it sound a bit like dating, actually.
The worlds just collided at the right time, I think.
What would have been the deal breakers?
We're very lucky that we had such a great team on both sides.
What was the one biggest surprise?
I didn't know how powerful the Bressick Whitney brand was. Everyone's got a plan when they get in the ring with Mike Tyson until they get punched in the face, and then all the plans go out the window.
All right, so let's look into the future. We've got our crystal balls out. What headline will printing about you guys in 5 years' time? Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Thought Leaders. Today, my guests aren't just moving Sydney's property market. They're shaking up the very DNA of leadership itself. Thomas McGlynn, CEO of Bressick Whitney, has built a career on service excellence and making leadership personal. Randall Kemp spent two decades building the Woollahra Group into a prestige powerhouse. And after Bressick Whitney's acquisition this year, both are not just owners but stewards of a bold move in culture, growth and equity. Today we'll look behind the headlines where the partnership risk and a new shareholder model are reshaping what it means to win in real estate. So Thomas, Randall, welcome.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for having us, Sam.
So the merger was announced back on June the 2nd, I think. How's it going?
I think it's been really, really good. Obviously, there's always challenges, and challenges are good because it kind of puts you into growth mode and how you can improve. And that's always something like that we talk about a lot, Sam, that whole concept of striving to be better. But overall, like the synergies of the culture and the way that the team, both across sales, operations and property management, the way they've all worked together, and I think it's been really, really good.
I think it's interesting because I didn't know what really to expect. I was actually quite nervous about the whole transition and coming together. But I would say on the whole, it's been really seamless. It's been a great move for everyone and individually and as a whole group.
Yeah, it's probably one of the bigger mergers like we've seen definitely this year, if not in the last few years in Sydney. And I mean, Thomas, at the time you called it a milestone and the coming together of, you know, like-minded and high-performing businesses. You know, maybe go back to the moment for both of you that you saw potential in each other's approach. What do you feel like you couldn't have fixed, grown or built without teaming up?
Like, this would have never really worked if there wasn't a real need for what the other in the equation had. And I felt that we had really good things that were going to help and support Randall and his ambition for his team. And I think Randall and his team had so many great qualities and so many great benefits that were going to be super beneficial for Bressick Whitney and Bressick Whitney's existing people. You know, our ambition to be Sydney's leading property group is not one that really ever has a destination. It's like this ongoing thing that we're constantly challenging ourselves to strive to be better across all aspects of our business. And, you know, for us in particular, you know, we wanted to be the dominant business within a 10 to 15 kilometre radius of the Sydney CBD. And part of that for us, we'd made moves into the Lower North Shore. We obviously have our existing footprint where we've been, you know, very dominant for 23 years now in the inner city marketplaces. But Randall and his business for a long time have just done such great work, you know, through not only the inner east, but moving forward into the true eastern suburbs and, you know, across suburbs like Paddington, Woollahra, into Bellevue Hills, Centennial Park, Bondi. And so that I think for us, we always wanted to find the right people to come on that journey, but it's been very, very difficult to find people that I think have the same qualities and the same values.
From our perspective, knowing that we had been competing with the Bressick Whitney brand in our core markets for many, many years, and knowing how strong their ethos was and how culturally they were a very strong outfit, and also how well received they were by the market. But as timing had it, we were at a point where we were looking to expand and grow even more, which was very, very difficult under the current structure that we were in a franchise structure. And so the worlds just collided at the right time, I think, where BW had Somewhat market share had been depleted a little bit under the brand in the areas where we had very strong dominance. And so that worked from BW's side of things to plug in a great business with good market share in those areas. And from our business, we wanted to be part of a bigger, more powerful engine that was difficult to grow or to organically grow under our current model. And so it's helped us to be able to plug straight into that engine.
Randall, I wanted to ask you, did you consider growing the Woollahra Group independently before you merged or with another partner before you joined Bressick Whitney? And what finally tipped the scales in Bressick Whitney's favour?
Considerations were made in all different directions, and we were speaking to some different groups over a long period of time. We certainly had considered the independent path, knowing that, you know, there's some fantastic independent agencies that we do compete with within our market, and knowing that I believe is probably a stronger path forward in the eastern suburbs market, certainly, rather than franchise groups. Just because of the power of collaboration. So I was looking at this and weighing up other franchise groups. It was the same thing at the end of the day. It was just a conglomerate of different offices, all independently owned and operated and not on the same page as one another. Whereas you come into an environment like Bressick Whitney, where everyone is collaborative and is on the same page and is sharing the data and is sharing, you know, listing opportunities, and it just adds so much weight for the client and adds so much value for the agents to be able to provide to the client. At the end of the day, when we really laid it all out, it was a very, very clear decision for us that you know, moving in and merging with Bressick Whitney was the right one.
These sorts of acquisitions or mergers, you know, come into a lot of directors' heads from time to time, like, should I buy, should I build, should I grow. How did you actually sort of confirm that there was like a cultural match? Did you use anything formal? Were there surveys, or was it more of like a gut feel?
I think it was a long period of conversation. It was a long period of knowing, having deep-seated relationships with, you know, I'd worked with Shannon when I first started back in, 25 years ago or whatever it was. So there's deep-seated relationships there. I'd spent a lot of time speaking with Tom and the whole management team here at Bressick Whitney. And not only me, but also introducing the key people within our group to those people, and just seeing how that played out and what the insights were like in regards to direction and what we were actually looking to achieve, like what our group was looking to do, what the management team within Bressick Whitney was looking to do, and seeing what sort of synergies were actually there. And I think, you know, doing surveys and whatnot, yes, is the answer to a degree, because you obviously ask opinion of those people that are having those conversations. But I think the reality is the key elements of what we were looking to do and the key elements of what Bressick Whitney were looking to do just morphed perfectly. So it made sense.
You know, I'd call people that I know knew Randall really well, just say, hey, you know, like, I really like Randall. I like his approach. And is that what is like after spending lots of time over the years with them? I'd call the same people and they'd say, oh, Randall's just called me to ask me about you. You know, so for me, a lot of the time, like, it's for us, I think it was more on us, because it's very, very easy, I think, in our industry that's quite tight, to understand if someone is who they say they are. I think that's quite an easy thing to find out, and especially if you have been doing the right thing and you've built out great networks, pretty easy to find that out. For us, it was more about proving to Randall and his team that we weren't just the words that we were saying. We actually had a lot more behind that and a lot more substance. And you know, that just takes time, and that takes from small conversations to big conversations to following through and actually doing what you say you're going to do. It's the same for anyone, whether or not it's a big business, whether or not you've got a small business, whether or not you're an individual agent. Having a vision for what you're part of is really, really important. And I think that is what we always came back to, is that I think the vision that we have for Bressick Whitney really tied into what Randall wanted for his team, and it just felt coming and merging into one was going to make that easier. And you firstly want to get along with someone and ensure that they're a good human being. So forget whether or not they're a great real estate agent, forget whether or not they've had heaps of success in growing a real estate business. It's whether or not they are a decent human being. And Randall certainly is that. And I think that that for our ownership group at Bressig Whitney, that was, you know, a big thing for Shannon and I in particular that really drew us to Randall. I think sometimes you overcomplicate coming together. Sometimes it can be a bit about feel.
If you start going down that track and starting that process and it feels uneasy or not right, then it's not something you should do from the very beginning. But I've felt really comfortable, you know, dealing with Tom and the whole team has been, it's been enjoyable. And, you know, to his point as well, it's dealing with people that you actually like dealing with and decent people that you're on the same page as. And, you know, not everyone's going to get along with everyone, and you do need to find your people. So, there is a feeling that we've done that, which is great.
You make it sound a bit like dating, actually. So, you know, like you've got to have a goal in mind, whether that's, you know, marriage or something else, and then, you know, proceed accordingly. But if we were talking about dating, lots of people have, you know, non-negotiables or things that are complete deal breakers when it comes to, you know, forming a relationship. What would have been the deal breakers, do you think?
For me, if the values weren't aligned and also, you know, our expectations on growth, our focus had been on being better first than growing second. It never meant that we didn't want to grow. It just meant that we wanted it to be purposeful. I know that that was something that Randall and his team were really wanting to work out, you know, how they were going to grow. And I think that, like, firstly, so that the vision on what we wanted to do was aligned. So if that wasn't aligned, that would have been something we go, I don't know if that's going to work out. Values, very important. Like, we are a values driven business, and around the, you know, alignment on also our strategy at Bressig Whitney. Some people do things completely different to us, and that's okay, but we do have a very intentional strategy around how we promote property, how we market property, how we, you know, build our team culture and so forth. And that was something that Randall's curiosity around all of that and wanting to be super interested in how did you create that, and because that's how this all started. We got together and had a chat about what we're doing, what Randall's doing, how we've done it, how he's doing things. And eventually that got to a point where it was like, hang on a second, maybe we should have a bit more of a chat with wanting to do the same things. So, I mean, if you come from a dating point of view, like, I reckon the first two or three meetings, we would have known very, very quickly whether or not it was alignment or not. And back to what you were saying earlier, like, consolidation in our industry is being talked about a lot. But generally what happens in a situation like this, businesses might merge because one part of the merger wants to potentially wind down or retire. And we've come together as two businesses that are still really ambitious.
Good.
And, you know, that's what I thought was amazing, because consolidation generally doesn't happen in our industry at this size in that way.
Yeah.
So Randall didn't merge the business because he wants to slow down. He merged it because he actually wants to be part of a vehicle that can help supercharge that, you know, intentional growth for the future, which I think is where straight away we were aligned.
Randall, you've been in business 20 years.
Hey.
And it is a merger of two very big businesses. You've got a lot of repeat regular clients that you've been working with, like, over a number of years. Is there anything from TWG that they'll recognise within Bressig Whitney? Like, you know, it sounds like they're going to be quite comfortable with the move.
The one thing that I was probably most concerned or nervous around with a merger was that you only know what you know and you don't know what you don't know. And being part of a brand for a long period of time, you feel comfortable around that. You feel that your clients feel comfortable around that. And if there's change, that might upset that. But to the reverse of that, actually, other people that have perceived us one way perceive us very differently now. And I think that it's been a hugely positive thing for my existing clients, and they've all congratulated me and said what a great move, and strategically what a great move, and what a great brand. And, you know, to be part of what is, you know, Sydney's leading property group within 10Ks of the CBD, what a great vision to have. Because when you are part of a bigger franchise, sure, the idea is, well, you know, everyone's going to know the brand. So everyone's going to come to you because they know the brand. But the reality is it's a relationship-based business, as we all know. And I think the points of difference that separate us from the major franchises to operating as Bressy Whitney are so much more powerful than actually just being part of a big name. So I think the support from my existing clients has been overwhelming, I will say that.
We've always admired Bressy Whitney as a business, you know, just for their differentiation and things like that. I mean, Thomas, did you want to add anything to that one?
Like, I've been really, really happy. Like, even just looking at the listings that Randall and other people in the team have got coming up in spring. Like, I walked in and looked at Randall's upcoming listing pipeline, and it's really strong. So that shows that people have actually accepted the brand. And
yeah,
part of that also is good as well, has been that the team have been very passionate about it. So if they're passionate about it, that's going to only just, you know, reverberate and transfer on to the clients being passionate about it. Look, we're not naive in the sense that this is not just something that you do something and then the clients go, yeah, that's great. You have to keep turning up, keep providing great service, keep being true to your word.
And I think on that, there'll be a lot of people with eyes in the marketplace and whatnot that are watching to see that watching to see what happens and do we fail, do we succeed, do we do more business, do we do less business. The individuals that have come over from one group into another, like how does that look for them? And I think that's the exciting part, isn't it? Something that Thomas and I spoke a lot about before actually coming together was how does it actually look to the rest of the market and how is that perceived in the way of, yes, obviously clientele being the number one main focus, but other people from within the industry, other agents, external agents, other people that are working in property management, all those things, how do they perceive it and what do they, you know, how do they think that that would potentially benefit them to be a part of that as well?
How did you approach, keeping the team, making them all feel like they were part of the one big group? Are there any tips out there for other people who might be, you know, thinking about that?
The only way to get someone comfortable with change is to over-communicate and to be as open and transparent as you can about things. And that, I must admit, when you're bringing two businesses together like this, one of the challenging things is obviously there is certain things that you just cannot go out and tell everyone about.
Yeah.
And in our instance, obviously, there was a lot of rumors in the marketplace about things that were happening and, you know, at certain points you can only share small amounts of detail. And, you know, we're still in the midst of ensuring that things roll over correctly and so forth. And I'll say that we'll probably do a good, debrief around what we could have done better and what things we could improve on for something that might happen next time. But like back to what we were saying, like if you have a people first mentality and you look to reward your people, you give them clear direction, and then you follow through on the help and support that you have promised or that you've talked about, I think that makes a big difference. Like I was in at our Willara office the past couple of days and, you know, so many of the teams coming up to me and saying, like, it has been exactly what you said it was going to be. Thank you. To see the teams interacting together and for them to say, you know what, it's been really great. That's really pleasing. And we've just tried to approach it in the same way that we've always approached it, Sam, with a coaching mentality, a people first mentality, curiosity, you know, actually sit down with someone and listen to what they've got to say.
When you have major change like that, people do feel uncomfortable with it, but they feel uncomfortable with it for different reasons. And you do need to take the time to work with each individual to find out what it is that they're uncomfortable about or nervous about or scared about or whatever it is and work with that. And in fairness, I think it's got to be said, like it's not when you go through something like that, there's some people that they just can't overcome it. Like they just can't, that change for them is just not going to work. And you know, that's okay too. Like there's people that from within our group that have not come over with the transition, and that's okay. That's totally fine, because at the end of the day, we need to make sure that everyone is 100% on the journey with us. As long as everyone's on the same page and has that want to do it, then you can make it work. I would say this has been the most interesting part of a business that I've been a part of, just going through and dealing with the different people, personalities, what's important to people, and going through this whole transition has been super, super interesting.
Regardless if you're merging a business or not, if you don't know the answer, there's nothing wrong with saying to someone, I don't know the answer to that right now. But what I will say to you is that we're working hard to figure that out for you. And as soon as we know, we're going to tell you, rather than just not confronting it. Throughout this process, being, you know, a little bit vulnerable around that as a leader. I know, you know, Randall's handled this really, really well too. Like the stuff he's been open and honest and vulnerable around answering things genuinely rather than giving a, you know, a polished professional response to someone. That really helps in that because it humanizes the situation. So I think that's a really important part of leadership.
We actually published a story recently about Michael Kirk becoming a shareholder in the business. How do you actually make shareholder in the new business? And has that sort of thing excited your team, Randall, in coming into Bressick Whitney?
He ticks every box as someone that you want as a leader in the business. So it makes perfect sense to me as to why he would become a shareholder. And more importantly, probably, or certainly part of it, is that that's what he wants. You know, he wants to progress and grow and become a business owner and help us and everyone involved in this whole journey of growth and success. So I think if he's wants to be a part of that, then he should be a part of that, as should everyone else that, you know, that is within this business that wants to do that.
When you get to the point where we welcome new owners into the business, there's been, you know, a long journey of talking about what that responsibility is going to look like, but also that they have to want it, they have to want to commit to it, and financially they need to be able to do it. So we don't do things at Bressick Whitney like some other people do in terms of shadow equity, where they're given a title but they don't really have ownership in the business. To own in Bressick Whitney is to own in quite a significant asset, and it's something that we take very, very seriously. And that's also part of the journey, is that you need to want to grow and take on responsibility. And so I think, like, that the pathway to ownership is something that we like to say is open to everyone. And if they have that ambition, that's something that we can provide pathways. But it's also okay. It's not, we don't force people into wanting to do that, because some people don't want that added responsibility. And that's okay as well.
All right, let's talk technology for a moment, because, you know, I have a special interest in that. Were there any, like, you know, and again, I'm thinking just as a business owner myself, Bressick Whitney's obviously got a tech stack. TWG probably had a significant tech stack as well. How did you manage the merger of the technology?
Well, you're probably speaking to two of the wrong people when it comes to who did that. we're really blessed. We've got, Will Goss, who's phenomenal in this space. E.B. Hancock's, who also is absolutely phenomenal in the operational space. It's not easy. The coming together and the merging of data, of history, it's actually more time consuming, I'd say, that it's quite easy to make a decision on which one to use this product, for example. I think that is the easy decision. The merging of information and just years and years of things, that is quite difficult. That's just time consuming.
People's data is so important to them in this industry. And so going and putting their data in with other people's data, what happened with ownership and all that sort of thing, that was something that definitely raised its head as a big question mark from many, many of the people that were in our group that was going to join. The rules and the way that that's dealt with through Bressick Whitney is so different to any structure that's in any franchise. It's so much more powerful, because rather than it being his or hers or his or his or hers or hers, it actually is no one's, and it is up to the client to make the decision on who they want to work with and who they want to use. But what they have is the ability to have multiple, you know, outstanding relationships with these agents. And, you know, we've just had probably already four or five examples that I could roll off the top of my head where a client has been speaking to someone from Bressick Whitney, someone from the Woollahra Group, and now they've got the ability to be able to have both of those agents working on their property with the support of all the other agents, all introducing, buyers and their whole, you know, networks of people. So it's sort of the way, you know, the tech side of it is so important because you don't want to be losing data. You don't want to be not servicing data as well as you were before and all those things. But we're lucky now that we've got, you know, with the systems that we had, I believe, and the systems that Bressick Whitney have, that the service that the actual client is provided with is not affected in any way. And if anything, it's a better service.
So the big thing for us, I think, though, on some of the things that we do utilize, which is because obviously we sell in such a, you know, strong geographical area, we have such a strong creative approach, we have such an intentional content and a storytelling approach. Many of these things, which aren't tech, it's more strategy. I think, you know, that's part of the journey has been that Randall and the team really wanted to be part of that. The tech side of things, like we move slow sometimes when it comes to deciding what to use and not use because we don't want to overcomplicate things. We don't want to get analysis paralysis with technology. I think you would know this more than anyone because you get around and speak to so many people, is that sometimes people have too many things in their business and it actually makes things more complicated. It doesn't do what tech's supposed to do, which is make things easier. AI, which you're one of the leading experts on like AI is something that, you know, Will Goss had to really knuckle down, help me with his transition, bringing the two businesses together. But, you know, one thing for us in the future is we really want to lead the charge with how we utilize AI, not just for our people and our business, but to help our customers. And that's something that I would say is probably the one big thing that we will be leaning in on into the future. But with regards to data migration, that was a lot of the heavy lifting that needed to be done. Yeah, and that was just labor intensive, Sam. That really wasn't tech intensive. That was labor intensive, and we're very lucky that we had such a great team on both sides of the aisle working through all those things.
Like, what was the one biggest surprise that both of you have faced since the merger, and what lesson would that give somebody else out there?
I would say the thing that surprised me the most is the way that it's actually been accepted by the marketplace and our existing clientele and existing relationships within the market. I'm surprised about that because I didn't know how powerful the Bressick Whitney brand was and how powerful the Bressick Whitney culture was going to be. So I'm surprised by how much more value that can actually add to both a client, someone looking to, you know, buy, sell, lease property, but also for our existing internal staff or sales agents or whatever it may be. That surprised me how much weight that actually adds for them.
And Thomas, any surprises for you?
I don't know if this is a surprise, but I mean, you know me well now, Sam, and I really pride myself on thinking about all the different possible scenarios that could unfold, ensuring that I've got a strategy in place to help or to think about. So I never really want anything to be a surprise. But one thing I would say is that you can be, you know, a master at that. And when you do something like this, there is always going to be something that comes from left field. It's like the famous quote from Mike Tyson's trainer, which is everyone's got a plan when they get in the ring with Mike Tyson until they get punched in the face and then all the plans go out the window, you know. And there's been things that have popped up that we possibly wouldn't have thought about, in the midst of doing this, especially with the transference over of the properties under management. There's been legislation changes in New South Wales, and so in the midst of all of that, you've got to you know, change with that, and that whole notion of just preparation. You might not know what's going to come, but as long as you're focusing on preparation and doing the work, and like, it shouldn't matter what comes at you. You should be, you know, in a position where you go, you know what, whatever comes at us, we're gonna be sweet. So you know, I think for anyone who's going through changes like this, like, you can have a plan, but there's always going to be things that pop up that you just did not expect that you're going to have to deal with.
All right, so let's look into the future. we've got our crystal balls out. You got one under the desk? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so let's fast forward to July 2030, which is actually not that far away, less than 5 years. In one sentence, what does success look like for Bressick Whitney's business and its people? Give me a headline. What headline will print to you about you guys in 5 years' time?
If we just look at, like, what does this look like for us? And we've always said, you know, we want to lead in Sydney property, and that can be measured in a couple of ways. That can be measured in, you know, we want to be number one market share in 30 suburbs within a 10-kilometre race to the CBD, or 20% market share in total within that footprint. Now, that's a simple metric that you might say, but, you know, I want people to be proud and, you know, proud of the work that they have done and proud of the work that our business has done. And, you know, I think that it's not just about the business growing financially. It's about us, I think, growing in our relationship equity in the communities that we operate in. Like, the housing crisis is only getting deeper, and we can't forget as real estate agents that we are part of communities. And so, you know, for us, I think success looks like being not only a very successful real estate business that's leading the way in Sydney, but being a business that has got some form of social responsibility and doing right by the communities that we operate in. The workplace of today wants to work with purpose. Forget paycheck. They want to work with purpose, especially the new generation of people coming through. The average age of the person in our business is, I think, 31 or 32. So we've got a relatively young business. And we're super focused on not only helping people with their financial goals, but, you know, helping people connect with purpose in their life.
Yeah, I would agree with everything that Tom said there. I mean, I think the piece about having more market share in the suburbs where we want to really specialize is the metric that we do look at really closely. And I know for me, looking at that and growing more into the area down through the Eastern Beaches and whatnot is definitely something that we want to focus heavily upon. I want to see all the people that were part of the Woollahra Group that have come into this. I want to make sure that all of them are in a much stronger, better position by 2030 than they are now, which I have every confidence that they will. But that would be certainly something that would be cool to see. And I think, you know, continuing to see this partnership group grow as well, like the shareholders within Bressick Whitney, and continuing to see people rise and continuing to see success within the business, that stuff's definitely a motivator for me. I love seeing that. We were talking the other day, Tom and I were, about the actual opportunities of, you know, growth of doing more of what we've just done, you know, in regards to sort of more mergers and more, and that would be very, very strategic, and it would be very, very insightful and looking around and seeing who fits that bill and who fits that mold. And that's not everyone. It's definitely not everyone. But they're exciting things for me to think about anyway.
Yeah, I'd like to think, you know, 2030 that we've also led the way with consolidation in a effective and efficient manner. One of the great things that with this is that, you know, Randall gets to do what he is exceptionally good at doing, which is being a top performing real estate agent, to be, you know, a leader in the business, but he doesn't have to have his hands on the steering wheel running the business, you know, 24/7. And I think that is something that is a great vehicle for a lot of other people that are in business right now, that they love having an ownership position in a business. They love certain parts of the business, selling, property management, but they might not necessarily want to have, you know, the weight on their shoulders of having to run the business 24/7. And I really do think that with legislation changes and with things coming along in our industry, the industry, I think, is going to be required to lift in our ethics and how we treat customers. So I think consolidation and coming together is something that I think can benefit a lot of people. So I'd like to see that we've led the way with that as well. And this is just the first of many great mergers and acquisitions that we can do.
Well, it certainly sounds like you're in a good place and on a good path. And I can't wait to see how the future unfolds for you. So first of all, thank you for coming in, just really honestly sharing some of your experiences around mergers, because sometimes it it's not all roses and things like that. And I'm sure that that conversation has been helpful to a lot of people out there. And thank you, as always, for sharing some of your wisdom to such experienced agents and, you know, in such a competitive area. I'm sure everyone's enjoyed hearing from you. So thank you for that. Final question in the podcast, as always, if there was one thing that you'd like people to remember or do or take action on from everything we've talked about in this podcast, what would it be?
It's such a learning going through anything, but going through this, what are the takeaways or the things that I would have done differently or that we potentially could have done differently? And the only thing that I would probably say around that is I would probably build a team that is going to be 100% focused around just that job as a merger. So everyone has their job, everyone has their role, and everyone's accountable to that. And then, so it's almost like a separate team and a separate business to concentrate on that merger. Then I think you could do it even better than we have. There was probably a few different ways that we could have and should have communicated things with the team at more prudent times than we did. But other than that, it's been a really wonderful process, and it's been a successful process, I would say.
Well, something to definitely carry into the next one is, you know, having that that special forces outfit, is it, or something like that, that, you know, sort of just focuses on the merger. But Thomas, what about yourself? What's your one thing?
I've been thinking about this a lot as our business is growing, and, you know, I always want us to have, you know, I want us to have the big business structure, and I want us to be professional, like, you know, an ASX listed business is, but I want us to be, to have the care factor and feeling of a small business. So how can you scale to 100 agents but still feel like you're a business that only has 10 agents?
Mm.
And part of that is the question which I ask leaders now, and is, if someone else can get you there quicker, will you let them? And if you're a leader, you think about that. You know, I think that's something that I think about now with, I don't need to be the person that is doing everything. And if someone else in the team can help us get there quicker than I can, I have to drop the ego and let them. I think the one thing that everyone should try and think about is, do they have a vision for themselves? And that question that you asked us about, where do we see ourselves in 2030? You'll be so surprised how many people I sit down with and they're confused about what journey they're on currently. And I say, well, do you have a vision for yourself? If you forget what's going on right now and you have a blank page and you wrote down exactly who you want to be and where you want to be in 3 to 5 years' time, do you know what that looks like? And I think that this would not have happened if we didn't work extremely hard on the Bressick Whitney vision. And the reason why is because we were able to put that out there. It was almost like a ready-made decision-making matrix for us as well. And it also meant that it brought people like Randall into our orbit who were interested in that vision. So I think when you get really clear around what it is that you want to do and who you want to be, people then become attracted to that. And you attract like-minded people and people that want to support you on that journey. And so I'd really think that's something that anyone can think about. Doesn't matter whether or not you're brand new in the industry, whether or not you've been in it for 20 years. I think you can, you know, look at yourself and say, do I know where I'm going and do I know what I want to do?
I really love that, because I do think that in this age of technology and things that we're going through now, you know, I do think that agents who try to be everything to everyone everywhere, you know, it's going to be exhausting, if nothing else. So, you know, I think, you know, that leaning into who you are is great advice. So once again, thank you so much, Thomas McGlynn and Randall Kemp.
Thanks for letting us share our journey. Sam, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sam. It's been great.